This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
Last August, Vodafone Idea's untenable financial health made its Indian promoter, billionaire Kumar Mangalam Birla, throw in the towel.
Of stress on the telecom sector, and especially for Vodafone Idea, the worsening financial position of the telecom company has led to Kumar Mangalam Birla, the chairman and the promoter of Vodafone, to write to the government saying that he is willing to give up his stake in an effort to save the company from what he has termed as an irretrievable collapse.
This week, the government stepped in with an unprecedented bailout package. It will become the single largest shareholder in the company with a near 36% stake, diluting all the others by swapping 4 years of spectrum and AGR interest expense for an equity stake. A move that, according to the company, will help save an estimated net present value of 16,000 crore rupees. Or in simple English, this would give the company a breather of 1 lakh crore rupees for 4 years. Since the government has only kicked the can down the road by deferring the payment of dues, but not waived it entirely.
The government will become the single largest shareholder in Vodafone Idea. Vodafone Idea Limited said the Indian government will own almost 36% in the country's third largest wireless phone operator after its board approved conversion of dues into equity.
Let's be honest. The situation was indeed dire. As on September 2021, Vodafone Idea owed, hold your breath, a staggering 1.74 lakh crore rupees. Try counting the zeros to that. And with intense price war in telecom industry, thanks to Reliance Jio and Bharti Airtel, there wasn't much hope of it paying the government as and when the amounts became due. As you hear this, the company has a deferred spectrum payment obligation of about 1 lakh crore rupees, adjusted gross revenue dues of a little over 63,000 crore rupees, and close to 23,000 crore rupees in loans from banks. So now you know why Mr. Birla threw in his towel.
Obviously, that letter kind of... I'd say jolted everyone. And what was something which people felt was just ranted by the company now suddenly looked like a reality, that you could be down to two players in a market which until, say, about 8 years back, you know, it was bubbling with about 12 players. Now, that would amount to massive capital erosion also. And I think the reality finally dawned on the government is what I'd say. And everyone sprung into action. I mean, it was an unprecedented move, right?
That's my colleague Anandita Singh Mankotia, who has been on top of this story for years now. It's Friday, 14th of January. From the Economic Times, I'm your host, Arijit Barman, and you are listening to Vodafone Idea, Survive But Not Thrive on The Morning Brief. Throughout this episode, you will hear the term AGR or adjusted gross revenues. So before we proceed, here's a quick explainer. AGR is a two-decade-old dispute over how revenue is to be defined for license fee and spectrum user charges to be paid to the government. Telecom operators thought only receipts from core telecom services had to be shared. The government clearly had other ideas and wanted a piece of everything, from rent to dividend and interest income to profit on sales of fixed assets. The Supreme Court upheld the government's demands in 2019, putting Vodafone's joint venture with Mr. Birla on the hook for $7.8 billion. The telco avoided bankruptcy just in time when the courts last year allowed the payments to be deferred over 10 years. But that relief was short-lived, as the judiciary subsequently rejected Vodafone and its larger rival Bharti Airtel's plea to rectify what they say were errors in the government's calculation, thereby putting the viability of the British operator's joint venture again in doubt. Enough history. Let's fast forward to the present. In this episode, we ask, two very special guests if the government's move this week is too little, too late. Does bailing out one company set a bad precedent when we have a bankruptcy regime to settle such cases of corporate distress? And most importantly, is this the nationalization of Vodafone Idea? The company's management, however, has been quick to dismiss any such concerns and clarified.
In all of our interactions with the government leading up to the package itself, and even after the announcement of the package, I think it has been very clearly stated by the government that they do not want to run this company. They do not have the desire to take over the operations of this company. They want three private players in the market. They certainly do not want a duopoly or a monopoly.
That's Vodafone Idea's Managing Director and CEO, Ravinder Thakkar.
So the immediate message was to allay any concerns regarding nationalization of Vodafone. As you've seen that everyone was wondering, what does this government equity really imply? Does it mean Vodafone becomes another PSU? So the focus of interaction was essentially to tell people that government is more of a, you know, it's more of a sovereign backing. Government is not really an investor. They will not be looking at a seat on the board or any sort of participation in the management. But they're just there to help Vodafone through the choppy waters.
Along with Anandita, we will also be joined by Peter Milliken, an analyst from Deutsche Bank, who would be joining us from Hong Kong. Peter has some very interesting take on what might actually help Vodafone Idea survive the bloody telecom war in the most difficult market, that is India. But more on that later. I'm more interested to figure out what happens now. What are the immediate next steps?
Now the government is going to have a look at their computation, which will take a while because you have the very complex calculations on how Vodafone has calculated 16,000 crores as NPV of the interest, which is due on the deferred amount. But that apart, that's a government exercise. In principle, the government has agreed to it, so they will go ahead and take the equity. From the company's point of view, the next immediate target is to raise funds. They're hoping that the sovereign backing gives a lot of confidence to investors. They've been discussing it with a slew of private equity investors, a lot of other investors, but we haven't seen that investment come into Vodafone till now. So now the discussion is more about whether the government backing will help them bring in investors into the company.
But as you said, the government has to accept the maths, which has been computed by Vodafone and Idea, the two joint venture partners. Is there an outside chance? Because anything's possible when it comes to government policy, especially in telecom, that the number itself can be disputed and we are back to square one? Or that's been settled?
Well, you see, if you go by empirical evidence so far, AGR hasn't been a very good example, right? So I'd rather not say anything on that. I mean, we'll just leave it to the government to calculate. But see, the whole point is that this package has been after intense consultation with the companies, especially Vodafone. So I think the numbers, I would like to believe that the numbers have, gone back and forth between the two. But that having said, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how the government computes it.
Did the management also outline the CapEx plan? The network's in shambles, actually.
A month back, the management had declared that they were talking about a fourfold increase in their CapEx. The CapEx, everyone knows, is dismally low. It's it needed to go up. And they had announced a CapEx of about $2 billion annually. Now, that's very critical for them because if they need to continue with their revenue market share of about 19% in, I think, about 17 of their lead markets, they will need that much money. So that is something that they had clearly told the investors a month back.
And in a way, I mean, maybe on a lighter note, it's ironic that, with this package or the rescue or the bailout package, in a way, it reaffirms that the AGR maths was all wrong. Because, first you go hammer and tongs at the telcos and then you bail two of them out. So in a way, it's a reaffirmation. I mean, it's ironic, but that seems to be the case.
No, I'll be honest about it, Arijit. See, for instance, if you look at it historically, the numbers exploded because telcos did not make, in their books, they did not account for contingent liability, right? And if the telcos had done that every year, I don't think it would have come as, it would have precipitated into the kind of crisis it eventually did. So there, I'm not too sure. I mean, this is what even the government officials often say, that until the Supreme Court has given its verdict, each year you know that there is a disputed amount, there is penalty over it, there is interest on penalty and thereon. So I think what the government officials were unhappy about was the fact they felt that certain accounting practices should have been better than they were. That having said, yes, in a sense that, but you know, if the sector wasn't undergoing the stress that it did, I wouldn't have seen this AGR issue, the AGR bailout come in the way it did. So I would say it was more of a coincidence that the judgment came at a time when the sector in itself was in such chaos. If it hadn't been, if it did not coincide with this time, if it had come, say, 5-6 years ago, I doubt if the government would have given the bailout.
But this government's decision, that is indeed curious, that you become a single largest shareholder. I understand you don't want to run the company because that's not your expertise, point taken. But it's like a private equity. If you're a financial investor, you would want some kind of protection because at the end of the day, it's taxpayers' money. But here, it's absolutely, no preemptive rights. They are insisting that we don't want any board seat. Isn't that very curious?
Well, it is. I don't doubt that. It is, absolutely. But you have to understand the reason they've done it. You know, they already are saddled, if I may say so, with MTNL and BSNL, right? So what good would come out of a management seat or a seat on the board of directors or participation in the management? I'm sure the government would have been fairly confident to take over the company if we had seen significant improvement in the public sector units. So I think the thinking in the government is they don't want to rock the ship right now. And if it's only because of certain financial, issues that the company is not able to come back, claw back, what they could do is just help stabilize it and let the management steer the company through the troubled waters. And after 4 years, the government will have the option to convert its debt into equity. So if in 4 years, the company, in spite of the liquidity ease which they've received, if they're not able to turn their operations around.
Let me get this correct, that if despite this help, Vodafone Idea doesn't turn around, because it's at the end of the day, it's a reprieve. It's not a full-fledged solution. Then the government has the option to protect its investment.
So here's the deal. So package said that, for instance, you owe an X amount to the government in terms of your AGR, plus your spectrum payments, right? What the telcos have been allowed to do is to postpone their payment, their installments, which they would have had to annually pay, to 4 years. So till 4 years, companies don't need to pay anything to the government as far as the AGR dues and the spectrum dues are concerned. However, at the end of 4 years, while the amount has been deferred, there will be certain interest which will accrue on the moratorium, correct? Now, on that interest, the companies were given an option that you calculate the interest on your payment, calculate the net present value of that amount, and you have the option as on today to convert that into government equity if you would like. The principal amount at the end of the 4 years is where the government gets the option to exercise whether it wants to pick up equity in the company or not. So this is the interest component vis-a-vis which they've calculated. And there's a principal amount which comes in later at the end of 4 years.
Now, I know, AGR has been a body blow for everyone, including Voda Idea. But what I also feel is that the management and the board is having it a little too easy, in the sense that even before the AGR judgment, from 2017, when they actually merged, till now, they have not made money in any one quarter. That's an abysmal performance. So isn't shareholders or investors seeking some kind of accountability?
So You know, that's a very good question, Arijit. But, you know, it's a chicken and egg situation. When you raise that, I know where you're coming from. So that's also what many people in the government had initially quizzed them over, that help, no help apart. What about, you know, your operational issues? So the company has always said that a lot of government approvals took very long to come in, because of which, you know, their integration got staggered. And at a time when, you know, they were integrating and the market was kind of going through such a massive churn, it should have come in much faster. So while I agree, I mean, you know, and we've done lots of stories saying that how the company is just has just failed to integrate very well, which did lead to a lot of issues, operational issues. That does exist. But I mean, it's as I said, it's a chicken and egg situation.
Remember, we mentioned earlier that we also have a special guest. That's Peter Millican, head of company research at Deutsche Bank, who's based in Hong Kong. Why I say special is last year, Peter wrote a report for his clients that prescribed nationalization of Vodafone Idea as the best remedy for the ailing company. Naturally, I was curious to find out if now he feels that what the government has done is perhaps the best solution under current circumstances.
Well, it's difficult to know what the ultimate solution is, because the government will care about many things, right? It cares about spectrum payments and whether it will get them. It cares about the same for the AGR dues. It cares about profit tax from the sector, right? The more profitable the market, then the more corporate tax it can get. It cares about the quality of the networks, increasingly post-COVID. And it also cares about affordable prices. So these are a lot of variables to optimize. But I think it was a good solution. And, you know, I think it helps move the sector, I think, in the way that the government wanted to move it towards having the sustainable three-player market, at least through the medium term.
But the government and the management insist that it's not nationalization of Vodafone Idea. Do you feel investors would buy that? Because you've been talking, I'm sure, to a number of global investors. Do they buy that theory?
Yes and no. What is nationalization if it's not about being the largest shareholder? Now, I guess you can define it by who the directors are aligned with and who selects the managers and sets the corporate goals. But I think it's okay. I think as long as the government trusts the promoters to manage the company in the right way, then I think it's okay for them to step back, providing there's still enough skin in the game for the promoters to care about the company doing well. And I think there's really no need for the government to be involved at this point.
You had recommended a merger with BSNL. You feel it's still the best option?
Yes, I think it is, because the government really now is in a situation of having multiple SOEs, state-owned enterprise, right? Whether you call it nationalization or not, let's just say that it is an SOE of types. And it's definitely competing against BSNL, MTNL. And I don't think that's an efficient structure. I think it would be much better for them to merge to get the cost savings that can be achieved from doing so, better cross-selling opportunities to Vodafone Idea customers of some wireline solutions. You get one less competitor in the market. You have a better ability to buy 5G spectrum, because even now, Vodafone Idea still, you know, it's not out of the woods. It's in a better position, but still has a lot of work to do. But it is interesting. You know, the government lacks confidence in running a telco. And so it should be considering what its alternatives are, whether that is to merge BSNL and Vodafone Idea, whether it is to sell the wireline assets of BSNL and wireless assets separately. But it seems politically simpler to do the merger. I think the problem is that Vodafone Idea's debt burden is still huge. It's a poison pill for investors, including the government. So it still feels like we're another step away from making this a palatable solution. And maybe that's a significant tariff rise that helps the profitability, or it may be a further round of capitalization somehow.
But such a large stake, yet with no board seat, no preemptive rights, or say in the running of the company, that's certainly odd, right?
It's definitely unusual. I would want to have a say if I was investing in anything. But I think it's understandable that the government, you know, doesn't quite trust itself to manage what is an incredibly competitive business and an incredibly competitive space. And they know that the other shareholders do have skin in the game, and they, you know, they have experience in managing it. So I think the government is right in its instincts to try to stay out of it.
Now, a lot of people are a little upset that, you know, when you already have a bankruptcy mechanism for distressed corporates, why this one-off bailout? Does it really set a bad precedent across India Inc.?
Well, we've had plenty of bankruptcies and near bankruptcies in the telecom sector. We saw Reliance Communications go through the new bankruptcy rules, for example, and it was very painful. Yes. And I think that the answer is really that governments, particularly in the last 2 years since we've had COVID, have become a lot more sympathetic to telecoms, right? Before that, particularly in India, telecoms were seen as a way to make money, you know, a cow to be milked. And foreign investors in particular were very willing to line up and throw money at the market without thinking too much about it, just thinking telecoms are hot, this is the best emerging market we can get into, let's just spend as much as it takes. And the Indian government was very willing to take their money and then some. And I think that led to the successive governments getting a bit greedy and taking more than they should have, an unsustainable amount of money. And you get to the point where you just can't have three network operators operating in a way that the financials don't work. Definitely wasn't working for Vodafone Idea, and it wasn't really working for Bharti either. So something needed to change. And sure, you could have a company go bankrupt. Another one, it would be an extremely painful one for the government as basically the almost the sole creditor for Vodafone Idea. And given it's by and large the main creditor for the company, then the need to go through standard bankruptcy isn't the same as when you have a wide variety of private sector creditors. So I think the government did the right thing by looking at this differently, and especially since post-COVID, countries think we need to compete in the digital economy. We need to have great digital assets. And in that scenario, you know, you don't want a duopoly because you will not have as good an outcome in terms of network infrastructure over time.
The last thing I wanted to ask you, that this clearly is a reprieve. It is a fix, but not a full-time solution or an end point, as you said in your latest report. In your assessment, how much does Vodafone Idea actually need to withstand the big two? If you have to put a number to it, what would that be?
Well, our view has been for a while that the company needs to offload about $1 trillion, so about half of its debt, to get to a comfortable position. Or you need to have ARPUs rise by about 50 or 60% from here to get into a stage where it can handle the amount of debt it currently has. So the government move maybe deals with, say, a third of that, but I think there's still more capital that needs to be raised to get this to a comfortable position. Because even assuming about a 15% price rise next year, you get to about $200 billion in earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. And with this current recapitalization, you're still at around 10 times debt to EBITDA. And so it's still a very uncomfortably high number that you would like to see a lot lower. I mean, typically investment-grade telecoms are at under 3.5 times net debt to EBITDA.
Just like Anindita, I also wanted Peter's perspective if he felt the performance of the company's management and the board should also be held accountable.
Well, it's been a difficult situation, right? There's been a few things that have led us to this point. You know, one of them being Spectrum being extraordinarily expensive by regional and world standards, and that putting a huge burden on telecoms. And then when Reliance Jio came in and secured Spectrum at relatively attractive prices, it was in a strong position to use that plus new technologies that made it cheaper to build a network to roll out a lower cost network on a per bit basis and undercut the market. And so with a huge amount of debt, particularly post the merger of Vodafone and Idea, and then losing a third of subscribers, you know, largely to Jio, then it just got into a very difficult situation, and AGR magnified the problems. So I don't, you know, I would not have wanted to be a manager or on the board. I think it was an extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, situation to dig yourself out of without raising capital. And yeah, I wouldn't pin that on anyone in recent years. It's more an accumulation of problems.
My take? As I said before, this is a reprieve. So Vodafone Idea's free cash flows will have an annual shortfall of more than $3 billion starting fiscal year 27 when Spectrum payments resume. And this could result in a significant further equity dilution as the government has the option of converting the AGR and Spectrum's principal amount into equity at that point. Remember, Vodafone Idea's AGR and Spectrum dues as on September 21 is $23 billion against its market cap of just $4.9 billion. Therefore, I do feel the government may end up increasing its stake in Vodafone Idea further. But then, will it still be a passive investor like it is now? Despite the management's grandstanding, the company's decision to convert the cumulative interest on deferred liabilities into upfront equity shows its lack of confidence on the planned capital raise in the near term and potential significant improvement in its own cash flows in the medium term. So, it might just continue to be a laggard compared to Bharti or a Reliance Jio. But there's a bigger issue. The world's cheapest data costs have done wonders for India by helping spread the benefits of internet beyond a tiny urban affluent class. Successive governments have hounded telecom operators with outlandish financial demands. That needs to stop. If the third largest service shuts and customers scurry off to Jio and Bharti, it's hard to see how India will recoup its payments or live down the reputation of being the world's most treacherous telecom market. You've been listening to Vodafone Idea, Survive But Not Thrive, on The Morning Brief with me, your host, Arijit Barman. This episode was produced by Nehal Chaliawala from ET and Varun Kapahi from Awaaz. Swati Joshi was a sound editor from Awaaz. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. Thank you for listening. Goodbye, good luck, and stay safe. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.